In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Home hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 71. The games have begun. John Senecal, Brian Shackman. Obviously, the Yankees-Red Sox opening series is in the rearview mirror, but I think we're a couple games in, John.
And we're still talking about Aaron Judge contract.
Okay, so I want to put the Judge
That's
Bogaerts.
That's the truth, though.
I know, the truth.
It's crazy.
Listen.
They played all weekend, and all they talk about is that.
So. Put a pin in the contracts for a second, because we have to talk about Bogaerts' endeavors as well. My question to you is first, baseball-wise, so far, how do you feel?
I feel like we need to score more runs, and the managing has to be a little bit better. They got to use their players a little bit better. But
how, like, in what way?
Well, I mean, DJ LeMay, he was on the bench for the second game, and then they don't bring him until later to pinch hit when they should. I mean, listen, you know how I feel about Gallo.
You can't stand him.
Chicks, Aaron Hicks, we call Chicks. You know, it is what it is. Listen, it's early in the season. The pitching has been okay. You know, the bullpen's been very good. You know, Cole, it is what it is. He was all pissed off about Billy Crystal taking too long.
Yeah, but honestly, it was 4 minutes, and the right. Best tweet I saw was like, well, that's just the time in between one pitch, so what's the big deal?
Right, but you know, they got to figure out a reason for something. They got to complain about something. I guess, you know, listen, these guys are all creatures of habit. They go about their business. We always hear about that. So listen, they do have routines, but I thought that was comical. But listen, They're not scoring runs. The Yankees have scored 13 runs. I believe the Red Sox have scored 12.
Going into Tuesday.
So, I mean, the Indians scored 13 runs in a game the other day.
Yeah.
17 before that.
I know. And they've scored a lot of runs in this. I want to talk about Stephen Kwan, too, in a second. I think offense, the problem I have is that in early season, everyone says, you know, the warm weather teams do better and this and that, and it's just cold or what have you. But the same teams are playing in the same places. And I think with the Red Sox, there's a real concern about offense, because if Bogaerts doesn't produce, what do you have? I mean, Devers is going to hit. I feel like mindset.
JD's going to hit too, but you know, he's basically just so one-dimensional anyways, which is fine now with you got the DH no matter what.
I think offense is I think the Red Sox are actually, I thought going into the season that the Yankees were more flawed than Boston, and I thought they were going to fight it out for third and fourth place. In my opinion, I think the Blue Jays will win the division, and I just think they have too much. But
you're saying Devers is basically your only real hitter?
I feel like he is the best hitter.
Yeah.
And I think JD will be fine, but after that, I think it's really thin. And then on top of that, I'm not sure about the pitching.
Well, I think all along your pitching was going to be the suspect part of it. I think, you know, the Yankees had the little bit of advantage on the pitching because they had the named starter. Now that Sale is hurt for the Red Sox, obviously you take a huge dent. But listen, you know, Pivetta has been a very good surprising pitcher for you guys the last two years.
And I love Eovaldi as a guy and as a competitor.
As long as he's not hurt, he's fine. That's the bottom line. You're just hoping he doesn't throw his arm out the next pitch. That's it, Nathan Eovaldi. That's the way I look at him, right? It's like Tanaka was for so many years with the Yankees, right? You're just lucky he got to his next start, and he's not hurt. But right. If he's pitching, he's good. He's going to get you what you need. I would be concerned about runs. But listen, we love to start digging graves and start, you know, pushing praise this early in the season. It's a grind, you know, it's such a grind.
I just remember the Yankees from last year. I mean, so yes, I understand that it's early, but I will tell you if Bobby Dalbec and Trevor Story don't outperform, I think the Red Sox are in trouble, and that's not even considering
their
pitching.
Dalbec's got one more home run than Aaron Judge does.
Well, okay, so let's get to the contracts then, because the big news, and it's still being talked about a week later.
Obsessively talked about.
That, you know, Aaron Judge was offered, you know, $200+ million, and there were even offers made to Xander Bogaerts and Rafi Devers, and we're not sure if they were market value.
There's no, like, numbers on that. Like, the Yankees have officially come out, which Cashman told the Judge's camp they were going to release it if there was no deal.
Right.
But I don't think there's any numbers been which
is not a way to build goodwill, by the way, right. Because I think there's a lot of people, you tell me, but when I looked at those numbers and I look at Aaron Judge, and he was surprisingly healthier than people thought last year, but it seems like a fair market offer.
I have not talked to one Yankee fan yet that was like, no, he deserves more. I mean, I think looking around the league and looking what the comps are, that is more than generous. So obviously, I think it's not salary, I think it's years. I think, you know, there's rumors that he was wanting 9-year deal. Listen, the Angels will give him that. We know that because they love throwing money at players for a long time. You know, with Pujols and Josh Hamilton and Justin Upton, and you know, you go down the list. They're always throwing money around. But I don't. The Yankees are not going to give Aaron Judge a 9-year deal.
Okay, so listen to this. He's what? He's 29.
He's going
to
be 30 in like a week, like 2 weeks.
And he's physically, it's just an incredible figure. Well,
here's my thing with it. Like, if you're gonna not sign a contract for 30.5 million. Let's just call it 30.5 million. Whatever the number of years was, 7 or 9 or whatever. The Yankees were going to offer him 7. 30.5, basically, and some sweetener on the front for his arbitration year, which so it came out to be like a little bit more, right? Do you think, regardless of how you play, if you stay on the field this season, right, the Yankees don't win the World Series, you don't win an MVP, you put up the same basic numbers, 40 home runs, 100 RBIs, right? You bat 280. Are you going to get $5 million more a year or an extra year from another team at age 31?
Well, which makes me feel like he is going to, has to leave. And this
right.
is, this
that's,
is
that's
my,
the scary part right. for Yankee fans that, go ahead.
No, here's what I want to say is that this is a classic case of what makes me, and I don't blame, first of all, I don't blame any player for wanting to get every single dollar he can.
Right.
I do not blame them. But so that's my caveat for what I'm going to say is that say he gets it from the Angels or say he gets it from, I don't know, St. Louis, whatever. You're not going to be in New York.
Mets.
Well, that's a different story. If he got it from the Mets, that would be a different story, and they would have to, what?
Well, who say you wouldn't get it from the Mets? They okay. need an outfielder. That guy's, he ain't going to be afraid to spend money.
But let me finish my point, which is if he, the Mets would be different. It would change what I'm saying. But if you take it from a market that isn't New York or Boston.
Right.
You're basically saying all I care about is the money.
Right.
Because you don't, if you cared about winning and being in an environment where there were 30, 40,000 people every single right. game, you wouldn't go anywhere else.
And you're the center point of that. Like, listen, the Yankee, if he's going to sign a 7-year deal with the Yankees, you don't think for a minute that he's not going to be the next Yankee captain within the next year?
You're so obsessed with this captain.
But that's a
thing.
Different, like, listen, there's been, what, like 6 of them or 7 of them?
He'd be the leader, whether it's a C or not. I mean, he's the face of the franchise.
It's a markability thing. It's a longevity thing. It's a franchise thing. It doesn't matter. Like, if he is going to get those accolades, you don't even need MVPs and batting titles and all that stuff. You get one World Series is basically what he would need to get in the next 7 years, and you would hope they could figure that out. I mean, think of the money on the table for this guy, and he's going to squabble over like $3 or $4 million over the course of a contract. It's crazy.
I don't blame. I
love Aaron Judge, man, and I'm all in. Like, I got his cards, I got his autograph, I planned for this. But listen, I think he's nuts. I really do.
And I'm
or
not
he's
a huge,
got huge balls.
I'm not a huge I'm not a huge Brian Cashman guy. But I will say that it was shrewd of them to go public with it, and it was a fair offer. And honestly, I agree with you. Judge should have taken it, and now it puts him in a position where he's probably going to go to, he could very well go to a market that doesn't care enough about baseball. He'll make his money, and he maybe won't get the scrutiny or the criticism, but it won't be nearly as fun or as intense. And, but if Stephen Cohen steps up with the Mets,
crossing
I would love that.
I could totally see it happening.
I would love that.
I could totally see it happening.
And they could use him, and that would be fascinating. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. And then you get Xander Bogaerts and Rafi Devers, who have both received offers. I also think I love Xander Bogaerts. Yep. He's classy. He's a good player, and he's been there. He's the link, right? Because he was there in 13.
Yep.
And so the 13 link gets me all the way back to 04. So, like, it just, for me, he's important.
I got a Mookie feeling, though, right?
Well, here's it, but he doesn't have the upside of Mookie. He's not as young as Mookie, and he is about years as well. And people don't know, he got Boris. And he has Boris representing him, so there's no way, you know, that he's going to take some sort of hometown discount.
Well, yeah, he's making $20 million a year, basically, over his deal, and that's what he would be making if he didn't opt out.
But he's worth more to the Red Sox than he is to anyone else. He might be, he's not even in the top five for shortstops if you take the overall big picture. So he could go somewhere else and maybe he'll get more years, but he's more valuable to the Red Sox, and he can, I think his upside financially is more with the Red Sox. So I don't love, the Red Sox are sort of running themselves in some ways like a mid-market team. But I don't think that, I think Xander's, I think his agents are over hyping his value on the open market. And I think it's a mistake. And I think it's unfortunate.
But listen, now, he could be one of these guys like Carlos Correa. If he stays with the Twins, he plays three more years there, goes somewhere else. They make a bunch of money and they don't really care about being, you know, like a brand on a team or something.
That's fine.
Like that, which is fine, right?
But exactly. He won't make as much money elsewhere, is my point.
No,
he won't make,
no.
He doesn't have the upside of Correa. So I think both.
He'll make more than what he's making, though.
Fine. But if that's what he wants, I don't know. He talked about all he cares about winning is why he went after Trevor Story. Or maybe deep down is that he knew it would be a softer transition when he leaves. I do not know. And everyone says, all the sports radio guys, like if Bogaerts goes, Devers goes too. They assumed, a lot of people in Boston assume that both want to stay in Boston. But this seems like another situation where the Red Sox will probably up their offer to Bogaerts. And I don't think he can, whereas I think Judge can get more money and maybe another year elsewhere.
Right.
I do not think Bogaerts gets more years or money elsewhere. So that's just my take. I just don't think he'll have the impact. You know why he hasn't been back to Boston? Because he's been there since he was 16 or whatever, and everybody knows him, and he's a fixture. He's a fixture in the city. So he goes somewhere else, he's a steady Eddie.
Right.
And I just don't think the value. Now, Devers is different. Devers has the potential to be, you know, a 10-year ridiculous offensive player.
Yeah.
And he has a lot of value on the open market.
He's got a great left-handed bat for New York, too.
And he's got this weird persona that even though he's got a goofy smile, yeah, I don't know. If that would be interesting.
Listen, what's his name? Rizzo said it. There's no loyalty anymore in baseball. There's not, you know? I mean, Freddie Freeman left, right? I mean, he was Mr. Brave, apparently. But, you know, all of a sudden he has a house in California.
But listen, I don't even blame him. He won a World Series, and you know, in the same way, I don't blame
anybody. If you want to go where you want to be happy, that's all that freaking matters.
No, but for me,
go where you want to be happy.
I like it when they stay in one place. I do. But when I think about it, if Freddie Freeman's in his 30s, he just won a title. He brought a title to a team that was so snake bit, and he's like, I'd like to experience something else in life. Like, I understand that.
Yeah.
But if it's just like, oh, it's the AAV, and Boris wants to do this, and the union wants me to do that. And,
right.
And I mean, I understand, again, they can get every penny they want, but Freeman, to me, is a totally different story. He's like, I've accomplished everything I want to do here. I want to see a different part of the country and experience something else.
Well,
I have zero problem with that.
The World Series is the key in that one. He won the World Series, so it's like, you know, I got my chip. Now I can just...
Right. But I mean,
I brought it to you too.
And if he hadn't won it, I think I would probably view the whole situation differently.
Absolutely, 100%.
So when it comes to Devers,
Judge and the Yankees win the World Series this year, he can just skip town.
Sure, but there's something about a 6'7", 280-pound guy in pinstripes. He just looks larger than life. And if he's toiling in Seattle, it just doesn't look the same.
No,
and I can't stand the Yankees. I don't even know if I like Aaron Judge, but I will tell you, there's something special about
seeing
him.
I'm going to hold out hope that he's going to be a Yankee next year somehow.
We'll
it's
see.
Almost like I kind of hope he gets hurt or something. So his value goes down. He has to come
back. You don't want that. The last thing we want to talk about here on Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Jackman. Is the hot mic that caught Alec Bohm in
hot
Philly.
Hot mic or lip reading. Either way you want to talk it. You know what he said.
I bleep and hate this place.
Yeah.
And, you know, first of all, and you say that anywhere and it's news. You say it in Philly, it's kind of big news.
Yeah.
Because Philly's got a chip on their shoulder. They always feel like a second-class citizen city to, you know, Boston, New York, and maybe even Chicago, to be quite honest. And
there was a billboard that someone put on it. I don't know if they memed it or not, but it said, Philadelphia isn't as bad as Philadelphians say it is.
But he, you know, that's a real problem for, you know, the fans. They hate hearing stuff like that. And
it's a tough sports town, though.
Do you
man.
Feel bad for him?
Of course, I feel bad for him. Listen, so he was the big prospect, right? But he's kind of the odd man out right now. You know, the Stott kid is going to be, Bohm is a third baseman, right? But Stott is the big prospect now. He's going to be shortstop, but Didi's playing shortstop, so he's probably going to be sliding to third. Bobby Dickerson's got some work cut out for him over there because, you know, Alec Bohm is not doing well defensively, but listen, if you like you said, you don't want to play bad. You want to go play bad in Oakland if you're going to play bad. You don't want to play bad in Philadelphia because they're going to be on you. And now it doesn't matter. I mean, listen, they're all happy he came out and owned it, which was smart, right? He came out and owned it. He said it. He didn't mean it. Of course he means it, right? He doesn't want to play there. It's tough. Like, it's hard. But he's in the major leagues, and he knows he's probably going to go to the minors in May 1st when the roster is
shrinking. You think so?
Yes, most likely. Most definitely.
It's a big kid, by the way.
But listen, he's a big prospect, and chances are he'll probably get traded. He'll wind up on a different team, so he won't have to worry about it anymore. But listen, it's another thing. Like, baseball, you got to find a way to hide yourself. Like, in football, you can be out in the open, right? You can't really hide. You can't run in the locker room. Baseball, it sucks that he was on the field and he caught it, but you still see guys fighting in the dugout and stuff. Like, go in the locker room, walk down the tunnel, figure it out. Like,
I don't know. I don't wholly agree in the sense that, you know, when they're on the field, the football players have their helmets on. So there's
that's true.
There's
they can't get really lip red.
And in the baseball field, you're exposed all the time. I think that...
Even in the dugouts,
I think it's one of those things where, like, they had the Red Sox outfielder mic'd up right when he had to make a play, and he ended up, you know, the run scored, and I was like, oh, I don't want to go too far with this stuff, and you just want to allow them to play. Like, if a guy wants to F this or F that, like, I don't care.
Right.
I think that they should be able to, and, like, I can see it. Like, if I was having a bad day in a place I wasn't comfortable, I could see anybody saying,
oh, absolutely,
I bleep and hate this place, and you take it out of context, and people, the media, with so little to go on and such short news cycles, they take it and run with it.
And they won the game, too.
And sometimes I think it honestly is unfair. I just think that to do it in Kansas City on a weekday is different than doing it in Philly on any day, because Philly, they are sensitive about that stuff, and they don't, if you're not from there and you don't love it there, then they don't want you there, and that's the bottom line.
You know
line.
The happiest player in the American League is Andrew Benintendi, just sitting in
toiling
Kansas City,
in anonymity,
making some good money.
But if all you want is money and to play baseball, it's great. If you truly
and he's good.
If you truly want to win and you want to, like, it's different.
Yeah.
So it's different.
Well, maybe he'll get on the back end of something.
And I don't blame them for wanting to get paid. I don't. But there's a difference. There's a difference.
He got his ring, though.
He did. Just quickly, 30 seconds or a minute before we go. I didn't know until you texted me. And we know, and again, you know, things progress. The Guardians are scoring a lot of runs. Had you ever heard of Stephen Kwan?
No.
5'9", 170
pounds.
Hasn't
swung and missed at a ball yet.
5'9",
yeah.
170 pounds. And going into Tuesday, and this will change, he's batting almost 700.
Yeah.
And I never heard of this guy. And he's starting in center field. And if it wasn't, like, you know, sort of small market mentality with some free agents, but, you know, some pre-arbitration guys and this and that, he wouldn't be on the field.
Yeah, another good one. It was actually the Guardians wrote, that's our center fielder, Stephen Kwan, remember his name. And someone replied, yeah, just like you will when his arbitration comes up.
Which is 100% true, right? And I never knew anything about the guy. And that's the one thing I will say as we, you know, wrap things up. That's what I do love about, you know, there's a lot I don't like about baseball right now, and that the Theo, I'm still thinking about the Theo Epstein stuff from last episode, and how much is wrong with the game that needs to change. But when a guy, and even talking to the D'Onofrio kid, who is the AA manager,
yep,
in with the Hartford Yard Goats, he was a Division III baseball player, made it to the bigs and had a really good career, yeah, in the bigs. Like, stuff like Stephen Kwan is what makes me excited about baseball.
Yeah, that is a good story. Hopefully he's still there at the end of the year. But like you said, he's on Cleveland, so, you know,
he'll get plenty of chances.
He's in the major leagues, so he hasn't swung and missed yet, right?
That's incredible.
I don't care what your name is. If you can do that over the course of three games, one game, two games, like, you got something going on.
And it's in the bigs, no less.
Give him 2 weeks. If they haven't figured out the metrics on him yet, he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. John, great stuff as usual. This has been Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.